All right, let's jump into this shit.
Three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous. From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Stubel gets to the basket with one to come. From there again.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Tuesday, 19th of December. This is Joe Core here. I've got Andrew Kenyon on Riverside across the way. Andrew, how you doing?
I was absent last week, Joe. I felt your pain, so I'm back to relieve some of that stress and anxiety. You get my motor mouth once again.
Yeah, appreciate it. Just in time for Christmas. What are we doing on this episode of the podcast? We spoke about it. Yeah.
You were just so whatever about that. You seem so desperate to have me last week. I'm back. And then you're just like, yeah, whatever. Okay, so what are we talking about today? Yeah. Well.
I just don't want to get let down again. That's all. That's all. I'm just keeping my guard up. I'm bruised. I'm hurt. This episode, last week would have been perfect because it would have been the exact midpoint of the season. But someone had to take some time away. But anyway, we're games over or round over the middle of the season. So we are doing what we're calling an NBL Pocket Pod. Well, Kenyon, you tell them what we're doing.
Before I tell them what we're doing, is this a Patreon exclusive? Are we doing the Patreon exclusive version? Or are we doing the...
We're going raw. This is NBL Pocket Pod After Dark. Cigar in, nip of brandy.
Okay. So, if we were doing this as a normal episode, we would call this probably Date, Disband, Adore. But because we're unplugged, just going out to those who love us and pay for us, this is going to be called Marry, Fuck, Kill.
I went Fuck, Marry, Kill in that order.
Fuck, Marry, Kill. I didn't want to lead with a swear word. You know, it felt crass.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
But it sounds... yeah. But yeah, I think your way is generally preferred.
It's the vernacular. Also, what you did was you did the classic perverts maneuver. You went to the video store, you've got pornography, and you thought, if I sandwich it between a copy of Home Alone and Mona Lisa's Smile, no one's going to know. And that was your gambit. But it hasn't paid off here, pal. I see right through your hoodwink.
So tell me, everybody's played this game, right? You've all sat around at the pub and played this game. Do you need to explain the rules, Joe?
I really don't think so. We don't patronize our audience here. We just fly into it. And I think people get it.
Oh, good. You said fly into it as we hear an airplane going over your head.
Oh, you can hear that in the background. Yeah, oh, man. It's Sydney. It's a million degrees. You can probably hear a circular fan. I'm not kidding around anymore. This is a nightmare. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of the 10 teams in the league. We're going to do FMK on all of them. What we like, what we don't like, what we especially like. And we're going to do that through everything. But before we do that, though, I've got a few sort of broader topics, because we will do a little fraction of this that's free to the public and then most of it behind closed doors, because this is inappropriate. This is going to be some wild content, I think, and you got to pay for it. So a little housekeeping up at the top. Patreon. If you're not a patron, want to listen to the episode, become one, and you can. Secondly, the Discord. If you're not in there, jump in there. Everyone's having the chats. Twitter, at NBL Pocket Pod. Get in touch with us. And the email, at nblpocketpodcast@gmail.com. Send us a thing on there. I would appreciate it. But here we go.
Hang on.
Overarching questions.
I've got social media feedback. Why are you doing? You're mentioning Twitter / X. I reinstalled Threads. So if you want to get me on Threads, you can hit me up at Kenyon. I'm hoping that'll be
just
like
Kenyon.
Wow. Just Kenyon. Just, you know, you got a unique name. You can get these cool usernames. So find me there.
So saying
we can
is
talk some NBL.
You can give. You're no longer tooting, but you give tutelage on Threads now.
Oh, you schooled me.
Well, thank you. Let's do this. Overarching questions. Alan Williams. I tweeted out to the guy, and it's gotten popular.
It was a good tweet. Read it out. Yeah. Taking it to the tweets. Tweets.
I actually don't have it at hand, but it was something on the lines of, like, I watched that game and they got Southeast Melbourne got murdered, and Alan Williams, bless him, he was just diving into opponents and then begging for calls. And I just thought, he's the biggest guy in the NBL probably since Colton Iverson, and before that probably Cam Oliver. He's the biggest guy in the NBL, and there was just no finesse on the move. He was just diving straight into the chest of the defender, and then surprised me and didn't get a call. I'm a fan of Alan Williams. His production's through the roof, but yeah, I stood by the tweet. And it really comes down to what someone else on this podcast said a while ago when I had that professor on when we spoke about the fallacy of the hot hand shooting.
Yeah,
is he said on Twitter, you've got to take the most charitable interpretation. And Alan Williams took the most charitable interpretation. He could have been a jerk in reply. Probably should have been a jerk in reply, but didn't. And I appreciated that. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was good of him. He's, you know, he comes across as a nice guy. And, you know, it's nice to see the social media side of Alan Williams is equally nice. He took it on the chin, agreed with your perspective, said thanks for the feedback, I'll try and do better. Self-reflection, self-analysis, you know, I like that around here. Having said that, he's also the NBL's darling. So, you know, he's got a future career path he's got to keep in mind. So we see what you're doing there, Alan.
Shut the fuck up. He just wrote, quick quote, shut the fuck up.
When did you step on an NBL court, loser? Hey, look, I just wanted to say, Alan Williams, if you're ever in Perth and you get a bit of a crook hammy, I don't care what the NBL says, I'm coming down and giving you a stretch, mate.
Yeah, I'll
just say, this guy's all right. Just say, Canyon, he can come on through and stretch out that hammy. Because it seems as though you're kind of allowed to do it. They like to promote the fact that fans can do it, but then after the fact say, look, don't really do it, but we're still going to tweet about the fact that somebody did it. A little mixed messaging. I'm not sure whether I can stretch Alan Williams' hammy or not.
And it's funny. The tweet got picked up on a number of places, and they'll talk about it. And fairness to, like they mentioned, but they don't give you by name. Everyone's got to protect their little pottage of dirt that they, their little media perspective. They've got to protect themselves. And I'm just like, they know who I am. They know who we are, I should say.
Yeah, you know, your tweet to Alan Williams. Your tweet to Alan Williams. You know what? I'm going to do it. It was presented on NBL Overtime, a program of the NBL. Broadcast on channels such as what, ESPN, or is it just YouTube?
Former employer of mine.
So thanks for the shout out, NBL podcast. Gave that tweet.
I guess that makes us colleagues now. And well, just what's the dividend? I'll take the thank you for that. send it care of my
well husband. hey look don't complain, Joe, because at least you're one step above Matt Logue. Because apparently Matt Logue also talked about this tweet of yours and Ali Williams' reply. But you were not NBL Pocket Podcast in the Fox Media empire or whatever they are.
News Corp.
Rupert Murdoch's empire. He would never promote another competitor.
By the way, another current employer, Fox Sports of mine.
And what were you known as there? Not NBL Pocket Pod, but you were known as... a fan.
The fan. Yes, that's right. And I just want to make this really clear. I'm not a fan. I'm actually not a fan. A lot of the things the NBL does. So that's just bad reporting on the behalf of reporting on the behalf of the suspect. The
reporter. I shouldn't have doxed him, should I? Just the reporter.
And I've spoken to Matt. I've met Matt very, very briefly years ago. Like, what? And here's the worst part. Like, Bogut gets the, you know, Andrew Bogut from the Bogut podcast. Here's the link. Like, they cuck out there. All I really want is for people to cuck out over us. Okay? We should do what Bogut did. Send a corporate email and insist upon titles. But that's for the patrons. Listen, let's jump onto this. You spoke about the doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? The one that we're calling, other than the fan, we're calling him the Hippocratic Oath, which I thought was probably a little bit above the pay grade of most around the NBL. As in, he's a doctor. He took the Hippocratic Oath, and then he committed a faux pas by touching a player from the... That's a faux pas. He's an oaf. Did something clumsy. Hippocrat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. I thought it was charming. I thought it was funny. But, you know, the NBL had to take that stance. If you know, fans can't jump on the court and touch players. Of course. Regardless of their credentials.
To be fair, I remember watching... I was watching it on TV, and I was like, what the hell? And I thought, where is security? Because I'm sure if that had happened in Perth... that guy would have been, like, gang-tackled and taken down. Like, Perth security don't mess. Like, they do not like you getting near the court. And Melbourne, they're just chilling. Oh, yeah, guy, cool, come through. It's like, wow, different rules. And I guess that's why they call it the NBL.
Hey, I think that it really has two things for me. it's what the NBL was and it's what it's becoming. And I don't hate what it was and I don't hate what it's becoming, but you can see a separation. Before, that stuff would have been very NBL on brand, right? Tin sheds and da-da-da. And I'm talking 80s, 90s, even up to the sort of middle 2000s, let's be honest, early 2010s.
Yep.
They're pushing it in a new direction where I understand you can't have fans unsolicitedly touching players, regardless of whether they got credentials. So who knows? He could have got his medical degree in the Bahamas. I don't know this fucking guy. So, and it's really a conflict that's been going on now since Larry Kesselman took over, especially, where you got this old world thinking of, no, basketball's community, it shouldn't turn a dollar. We love the sort of hung face loser mentality where we just are a money drain, and Kesselman's saying, no, I've made an investment, we're going to make this into something, and the two worlds are clashing. And it really came together in that moment. Maybe I'm thinking about it too broadly, but I did find it funny and charming, so I don't know what to say.
That's right. But on the bright side, the guy is still going to get a pair of shoes and a jersey from Dijon Vasiljevic. So, you know, do your own calculation of risk reward if you're going to stretch somebody
and DJ
out.
To make sure it gets there, because there's a lot of deliveries around this Christmas time, send it via private jet. You know, that one you were yapping for a couple of weeks ago. Let's talk about this. Speaking of Christmas, Christmas Day TV kerfuffle. Did you read this article? I think it was by The Reporter.
Yeah, about like...
That was by Matt Logue. I like Matt. I'm twisting his tits.
Who's going to show the broadcast?
Yeah. And what I find amazing, and this is how you know people, and this is to the young people out there, because a lot of youngsters listen. The world is broken. But it's strong in the broken places. And the fact that the NBL, and in particular the Kings who spearheaded this, and good on them, had this idea to show these games on Christmas Day, but never thought to really inform anyone of how it's going to be shown on TV. And it only gets sorted at the last minute, seemingly a couple of weeks before Christmas. Like, you want to worry? Don't worry about fans, doctors in the stands stretching out hammies. Worry about getting your TV rights deals sorted ahead of time. And it just shows you that things are broken and you can insert yourself and make some money. And what did you think? Did you read that article or give us stuff? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I read it. And I was like, typical kind of thing. Like, wow, surprised this has been left at the last minute. I think a good compromise. Like, that, it's all about promotion. Costs a lot of money. Like, they need as many eyeballs as they could possibly see. Good on everybody for just coming together. The spirit of Christmas... and making it work. Look, not like the NBLs were ever massively rating. So they're not giving away too much. It's not like this is the rights to the AFL Grand Final or anything like
precisely.
That.
Yeah, precisely. No, absolutely not.
Keep it in perspective.
Here's the thing as well. And also, it's on the very prestigious 10 peach. So you've got apples, plums, pears, bananas, standard definition, staring into a campfire, looking at the toilet as it spins either way in either hemisphere, and then 10 peach. So... good luck to the Christmas Day game. What I will say is it will be interesting to see in a vacuum, because it's on the same channel, same time, with little competition. Has the NBL, will the numbers improve on last year? This is, to me, the most vacuum test of TV ratings, because you can cheat other stuff. The NBL does it all the time with its ratings where it goes, oh, it's 100% up on the COVID year. Or da-da-da. This is legit. This is it now. Christmas Day, it's the stats are going to be very good analytics. So I'll be watching that like a hawk. I want to ask you this question, Kenyon. Yeah. And then we're going to go into team by team. Fuck, marry, kill. Do you want, in a bet, do you want Melbourne United or the entire field to win the championship? Do you know what I mean by that?
So you're talking about odds. Is that what you're
odds. So if you have the choice of taking every team to win the championship other than Melbourne,
or just
Melbourne itself to win, who do you think's more likely?
Melbourne. I'm taking Melbourne.
I will take the field, but only because I like the risk. Because is this season...
I like money.
Is this season over as far as a winner?
Yes.
Barring no injuries, let's say nothing, no injuries to any other teams happen.
Even with an injury, Melbourne could take an injury and still win it.
Yeah, depend upon who. But yeah, maybe, but that would be the... I think that's the only way this season, or certainly the finals, because the lead up to the finals will be fun. 2 through 6 is quite fun. But I don't know, man. It does
seem over. It's a done deal. We need someone needs a Tonya Harding this situation. Because, it's a runaway train.
I'll say this. Golding has got hurt in their last two finals runs. Got hurt against Tasmania, you might remember, when they lost.
Yep.
And then the one most recently where they lost to whoever else. Can't remember now.
Even so though this year, that's fine. They just bring in...
Ian Clark,
you know, it's no big deal. They bring in Cameron Blogg, you know. It's like he was just drain triples. It's ridiculous. Give me a break.
Okay. I want to make, and before we go into team by team, fuck, marry, kill, who has the better chance of making the play-in of the teams outside? So right now, it's sort of Cairns and Southeast Melbourne, who are 8-8, who are right on the boil. Who has the better team? Who has the better chance of the outside teams? Brisbane, Illawarra, New Zealand, or Adelaide? I think we can scrap Adelaide fairly.
Scrap Adelaide. I tell you what, at this point, I'm very close to scrapping Southeast Melbourne.
You know, their next five games are on the road. They're up in Cairns. They're here. They're there. Like it, they need to win 50. You know, at least two of those five. Hopefully, three if they're a chance. But Creek's going to miss the next two minimum.
Yep, they're cooked. Then Cairns. I quite like Cairns and Brisbane. They're the other two you're giving me.
Yeah, that's right. Before I give you, can I give you the full case for all of them? Because I had a slow work at week and I did some research on the clock. You want to hear it?
Look, you've done the work, so get the credit.
Here's the case for each team. Brisbane play the best defense and they're zero games behind sixth. They currently sit there at 7-9. Illawarra are only 0.5 games behind sixth. They're 5-8 with more games in hand than any other team. The Breakers, amazingly, are only one game behind sixth, and Cheetham is rumoured to return, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then the 36ers are 2.5 games behind sixth. No real hope in our estimation. They can't defend and they won't. And yet they keep Sunday Dech nailed to the bench. I don't get it. Looking at the strength of schedule, Brisbane, 6 at home, 6 away, 6 games against the bottom 4 sides. That's what they have upcoming. Illawarra, 8 home games, 7 away games, 6 games against the bottom 4 sides. New Zealand, 7 games at home, 7 games away, 5 games against the bottom 4 sides. And then here's the one that is the other dropper. So Southeast Melbourne, I haven't really got the stats on them, but Cairns play 7 games at home, 5 games away, and only 4 games against the bottom 4 sides in their schedule remaining. So with that in mind, Canyon, what do you think?
Interesting. Good analysis. I still think Cairns will get there. I think they've got the most talent. Brisbane, I just don't trust them. Never know what they're going to do. Illawarra are the interesting one.
I'll go away.
I cannot possibly include them. I can't include them, but I'm going to love watching their run home because suddenly they've got
I'm enjoying your cheeky kind of eyebrow raise, like, maybe, you know, all right.
And the Kiwis, no, not going to happen. They're not. They just seem a little dysfunctional this season.
I actually could make the case for Brisbane and New Zealand. I don't think both of them, but I think one of them.
Okay.
Brisbane just played the better defense, and that has been shown to get you there. New Zealand, I just really like Lamb. I think Cairns are going to make it because Patrick Miller's an MVP candidate. He's really, really good.
Yeah, he is. He's excellent.
And then New Zealand, for the same reason, man. Anthony Lamb is the second best player in the NBL behind Cotton. I think he's that good. I think he's fantastic. Yep. Yeah, I just love his game. He is just a high volume, high production, high percentage guy. Love him. So I'd actually make the case for those two. Illawarra, I think this is a bit flash in the pan, but I love their play. I love what they're doing, but their schedule isn't particular. They've got a lot of home games, but yeah, I'm just not sold on them even now. But so you're making the case, to summarize, you're making the case for
Cairns. And if I got to pick up, because Southeast will fall out. So Brisbane.
Really? I think Southeast Melbourne are probably going to stay in. I think Creek comes back. I think, Cairns, fuck. Oh, boy. Cairns are going to make it. Cairns are going to make it, and Brisbane are going to make it. Man, Southeast Melbourne, I really could conceivably see them dropping below. I could see them having a really bad finish if Creek's injury gets worse, but a bit of a non-answer, but
who gives a shit? Wouldn't be the first time you've given one of those.
Let's go to each team. Fuck, marry, kill. That's a cut there. That's a cut there. I'll just note the time so we can go to the Patreon exclusive. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, Cheapskates. See you next week.